see in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been in his octopus's garden in the shade.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to the interview show here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. My name is Jerome Cusan, as always, and obviously this has been a very tough week for us here at PWP with Kevin Ford going through what he is going through. I would strongly encourage everyone to read his most recent piece on the website that he did, and, you know, it is the outreach from everybody has been incredible. From everybody in the independent wrestling community, fans, wrestlers, promotions, and, you know, I just want to thank everyone, specifically, you know, the people who have mentioned Kevin and sent their best wishes. He was supposed to be, this past weekend, he was supposed to be in town, and we were going to have a great time, and, you know, it turned from a weekend of, you know, very happy things to a weekend of concern. But, you know, Kevin is one of the best people in the world that I know of, and I know that he is going to beat this because, you know, he's confident that he can beat this, and, you know, this it's very traumatic to just have someone who is, you know, 2 years younger than myself having to go through something like this. But, you know, 6 months from now, when we talk about Kevin Ford, I hope to say that this is a man who literally wrote the book on Chikara, and when people ask who he beat, I can proudly say cancer. So that's really all I've got to say about that. And there's never an easy way to transition out of that, but tonight I do have a guest, and his name is Tim Donst, and we talk a lot about Absolution 9, we talk a little bit about Chikara, amongst other things, and opportunities in pro wrestling, concussions, very happy things, as you can imagine. But before we get to that, let's get through the plugs here. Twitter.com/PWPonderings is the place to find us. We typically do results on a weekly basis, particularly whenever one of us is live at a show, particularly when I'm at AAW or Ring of Honor or when I was at Chikara. We always have tweeted live events. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio and iTunes. Please leave a 5-star review on those platforms so that people can start to discover us even more. We appreciate everybody who leaves a review and who says the positive things that they do on our Twitter. So we can never thank you guys enough. What a great community that we've built. And you really start to realize that when one of our own is going through what he's going through. Just an incredibly positive attitude, and so very appreciative of it. So thank you for that. You can find me at twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor, and I will be doing some AIW reviews coming soon, as well as Beyond Wrestling with Kevin Ford really not being able to write and sort of being taken away from some of his duties. I will be taking over AIW and Beyond Wrestling reviews for the time being. And as we transition to Tim Donst, I definitely want to say Absolution 9 is a show you should be at if you have the opportunity this Sunday, June 29th at 6 p.m. at Turner's Hall, 7325 Guthrie Street in Cleveland, Ohio. Tickets are $15 in advance, $20 day of show. So if the online sale is going on, please make sure that you do that right now. Get that going. Quick rundown of the card. It will be Michael Elgin and Tim Donst for the AIW Championship. Perhaps in the main event, perhaps not. I don't know what John Thorne's got going on. So that is presumably going to be one of the main events, though. Kevin Steen will be wrestling Chris Sabin. For the Intense title, it will be Lewis Linden versus Davey Vega. Matt Cross takes on Josh Prohibition. Hashtag All Ego wrestles Johnny Gargano for the AIW Tag Team titles. The Jollyville Fuckets will take on The Forgotten. Gregory Iron takes on Vita Scott. Eddie Kingston wrestles Ricky Shane Page. In a six-way matchup, it will be ACH, Hashtag Sparks, Cheech, Brett Banks, Flip Kendrick, and Colin Delaney. And finally, Tyson Dukes versus Bobby Beverly. So, if you are in the area, you definitely want to check this out. This is one of AIW's biggest shows of the year, and when you look at some of the names, you know how much money AIW is putting into this show. Please go out and support it. It's going to be a great time, and I have to say that despite some of my issues with the way independent wrestling has built their big shows, AIW gets a big fat A-plus for the way that they've built up this show. Just about every match, there's a purpose for it happening, so you definitely don't want to miss it if you can. It's not going to be on iPay-per-view on Smart Mark Video, but it will definitely be on MP4 and VOD very soon thereafter. And we appreciate the hard work of everybody at Smart Mark Video, particularly Mike Robles, the poor guy who has to edit a 1 million wrestling shows. But we appreciate all the hard work he does. I appreciate what you guys do for us here at PWP. Get well, Kevin. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the show. Joining me on the line right now, he is he's a multiple-time guest here on Pro Wrestling Ponderings podcasts. He is a man well-known for his time in Chikara, but he is now perhaps best known for his time with AIW. He will be in the main event this Sunday at Turner's Hall in Cleveland, Ohio, against Michael Elgin. He is he's almost become synonymous with the promotion. Tim Donst is on the line. Tim, how's it going?
Doing well, thank you. Hope I'm coming synonymous with all professional wrestling. That's my goal. So hopefully one promotion at a time.
Absolutely. So obviously you have had quite the run in AIW. I know we've talked about this in the past, but, you know, obviously your AIW career has prospered even more in the last year or so, going back to wrestling Michael Hutter last year at Absolution. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, why don't you talk a little bit about the opportunity to wrestle someone like Michael Elgin, who, breaking news, just won the ROH World title. So as if this main event couldn't get any bigger for you, it really has in the last 48 hours or so.
Yeah, you know, I was always looking forward to wrestling Michael Elgin. Me and him have never wrestled each other, ever. So I'm really looking forward to that aspect of it. I think the fans are too. You know, AIW does a lot of fresh new matchups with me and other guys on their roster that you won't see anywhere else. You know, and I think it's really hard. You know, Elgin for sure is a main thing. AIW, obviously. He came in at the bottom and worked his ass off to get to the top just like I did. So I think this really cool, unique situation with two guys who have never had a singles match ever in the same promotion, both worked up the card, if that makes any sense.
For sure. And when you look at Michael Elgin's career, you know, he's had a pretty rough go of it at times. And, you know, I know you've had your struggles at times. So what is it like for you to just meet someone who, you know, has sort of gone through the same trials and tribulations? And, you know, obviously he's achieved some incredible success, and, you know, you're sort of hoping to reach that plateau as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no secret. I mean, Michael Elgin's been on a lot of people's radars for a long time. Certainly winning the AIW and then the Ring of Honor title kind of elevates you that much more. So the fact that I'm going to get to tangle with that hopefully will elevate me as well. You know, the best part about Michael Elgin is he wants to put on the best match. And so does Tim Donst. So when we have two guys with that kind of mindset, I kind of think it makes a must-see match, hopefully, for everybody.
Now, I don't think anybody's going to get Absolution confused with, you know, like a WrestleMania, but for AIW, this is their biggest event. So what is it like to sort of be in the main event of one of the biggest independent wrestling shows of the year?
It's crazy. You know, going from last year, I completely forgot that I'd wrestled Hutter, you know, a year ago. It seems so much shorter than that. But the between the great crowd and everything else, it's really crazy to see how not only Absolution, but AIW has really, really grown into its own in the past year or so.
So you mentioned the match with Hutter. You know, I think the thing that people most remember about the match is just the incredible crowd reaction that you two guys were getting. And, you know, I think there are times when the Cleveland crowd sort of has very high expectations for the action that they're seeing in the ring. But you, both of you guys, really brought out the best in that crowd. And, you know, obviously Michael Hutter has gone on to, you know, have some success in TNA. What was the experience like just getting in the ring with someone who is so synonymous with the early days of AIW?
It was really cool, unique situation because, you know, he had just literally gotten cut from WWE, which is his dream job. And something people don't take into consideration is when you're in that kind of circumstance, I mean, you're all living together, you're friends with everybody, you all go to work, you all train together, and then to be plucked out of that element is really depressing because that's your life, you know, that's your dream gone away. And so when he came to AIW, like, you know, I think he had a weight on his shoulder because professional wrestling, he was so close to, you're always rolling the dice, right? In Hutter's situation, maybe he was 2 months away from going to TV and becoming a multimillionaire. Like, you don't know, right?
Right, yeah, for sure.
You're constantly rolling the dice. So for him to be that close and go to AIW, I think, was a real, do I want to be doing this? Do I still love wrestling? Does wrestling still have a spot for me? And me, going from, you know, kind of my cycle, if you will, of depression at the time because of wrestling, unfortunately. And I'd gone through that because I've actually given out fear of all people. But because I'd gone through that, I kind of felt like I was able to help Hutter out of that strut, too. So that was very therapeutic for me as well. Sorry for the rant, if that makes any sense.
I think it sort of does. You know, I think that everybody, would you say that, you know, when everybody starts off as a wrestler, they have a passion for it, but perhaps as their career goes along and, you know, they get met with certain roadblocks, you know, it leads to sort of a loss of that passion.
Yeah, and, you know, and I can't speak for everybody, but at least for me, and I've assumed Hutter too, I don't think it was ever the passion that ever depleted. It was just the confidence of, like, why aren't I the next guy? Why aren't I this? You know? And certain stuff has to happen in place that can really mess with your head in any career, let alone something as up and down as professional wrestling. And so, I think that match, for both of us, really started the upward spiral of our career.
So, obviously, Michael went to TNA, and you've definitely been a huge part of AIW the last year or so. And, you know, you had a return match with him a few months later as you had a chance, you got your win back at AIW's Hell on Earth 9. Do you have any specific memories from the rematch? And obviously, you know, sometimes it's tough to get a sequel that's better than the original. So what were your thoughts on sort of that event?
Well, I remember that was the first time I've had the pleasure of feeling thumbtacks and pulling thumbtacks out of my boots. That's probably the thing I remember most. Also, I think, like, I think that was a Fans Bring the Weapons match, so I was really surprised with all the crazy contraptions that people bought.
So, and, you know, it's funny to think that for, I think, a lot of people, wrestling someone like Michael Hutter would probably be, you know, one of the biggest things that you could possibly do in a given year, but the next month you wrestled someone who is probably a huge influence on your wrestling career, that being Chris Hero. And I was actually there for that match. And the thing that I remember most was Chris Hero just absolutely killing you with a forearm, legitimately, and then watching you puke in a bucket. So, not the most pleasant of memories, but obviously I know it had to be a big deal for you just to get in the ring with Chris Hero.
I was so terrified because, like, Smart Mark was filming me, like, the entire time I was puking. Luckily, they, like, edited it all out, but but I thought for sure that some fan was going to, like, sync up the Beyond the Mat, he's going to puke with, like, clips of me on YouTube for the world to see, but luckily that didn't happen. But no, it was really, really cool wrestling Chris Hero. Like, you know, I looked up to him since I was 16 years old. He was my trainer. And, you know, for a brief moment at the very end, as I came to, I really felt like I was 16 years old again. Like, I remember the first time I stepped foot in a professional wrestling ring was against him. Like, what full circle to go from 1313 Linden Street, Allentown, to Cleveland, Ohio. But, yeah, man, like, that concussion rocked my world. They're not kidding. I was concussed a little bit on the outside when I went into the crowd over the guardrail, and then the second one he gave me completely knocked me out, and then somehow I went on autopilot and finished the match. I didn't remember any of that in the last few minutes.
Wow. So, you know, obviously, I think for most fans, they're never going to really have that feeling of a concussion. I mean, you know, I think there's always this cliche, and, you know, there's always a lot of discussion about concussions in 2014 and, you know, a lot of the concern. But, you know, for you as a performer, how are you able to sustain a concussion and then just continue with the match?
I don't know. Like, I really don't know. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like maybe I'm supposed to be doing this. I mean, honestly, like, I got into some weird autopilot mode. And I did what I had to do. And that's kind of those moments that make you think, well, if I can have a concussion and still put on a pretty decent match with Chris Hero, like, what can I do? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do this? You know, the other funny thing is, like, it was pretty good, like, after I got the concussion. So I'm thinking maybe, like, if a match starts to go a little bit sour, maybe just get dropped on my head and then magically this Super Saiyan autopilot mode will appear again.
I'm sure there are a lot of people cringing at this thought, Tim, but it's just very interesting just to hear that sort of perspective. And, you know, someone like Chris Hero, who's so highly regarded, I mean, in the year 2014, you got to wrestle basically two guys coming straight off of TV. And, you know, those kind of opportunities don't come once, you know, in 3 or 4 years, and you got them basically twice in 6 months.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I mean, you know, there's different, you know, parts in everybody's career and development. You know, obviously I started Chikara, so, like, I learned from Quack and Hollow Wicked and Claudio and Hero and all these great people with a mindset on wrestling. And then I did some stuff with Epic War and HWA and all these other places. And, like, AIW has been just great in terms of making me an all-around better wrestler by putting me in the ring with guys like you said, Hero and Hutter and Shelley and all these guys. It's been really great.
And, you know, it's funny to think that two Mike Quackenbush trained students wrestled in the month of February for AIW, and it was yourself and Danny Havoc. And I'm sure it's not exactly the type of match that a lot of Chikara fans would like, but it was definitely something that I think, you know, shows a different side of a Tim Donst. You know, obviously, I think a lot of people regard you for your technical wrestling ability, but certainly in AIW, you've shown the ability to sort of wrestle in thumbtacks and go a little bit more hardcore than I think would be expected of a Chikara student.
Yeah, thanks, man. I like challenging myself and trying different things. You know, the funny thing with Danny is Danny and I both knew each other when I think he was 19 and I was 17 or something. And, you know, when he went to CZW and debuted, he basically got the crap kicked out of him by DJ Hyde and went on to bigger and bigger things. When I went to Chikara, I got the crap kicked out of me by Eddie Kingston and went on to bigger and bigger things. We both kind of have the same kind of mindset, same a lot of stuff, because he's a very technical wrestler, too, whether he wants you to believe it or not. And so, like, I think, you know, when the school split up, he chose that path, I chose this one. I really do feel like, had we gone the other direction, had I gone to TZW, had he gone to Chikara, in some weird way, we'd both end up in Cleveland, Ohio, because I think we're that similar to each other.
So any other thoughts on the match? I mean, you sort of mentioned that you would both end up in the same place, and, you know, I think Danny Havoc can be a really good technical wrestler when he wants to be, and obviously he's chosen
the CZW path, but sort of what were your goals for that match?
It was to make people, you know, see, hopefully, me in a different light. You know, I like surprising people. I don't think every time you see me wrestle, hopefully you don't know exactly what you're going to get. Because that's how I like to do it. I don't think people expected us to go as crazy as we did because that's not my style. And that was a pretty nutty match. I mean, it was by far the most blood I've ever shed in a ring. It was by far the most aching I ever felt after a match. It was tough, but it was definitely worth it, and I think the crowd really appreciated it. And even more so, I think as a fan perspective, it's kind of cool and unique to see somebody like me wrestle in a hardcore match against one of the best hardcore guys, Danny Havoc, 1 month. And, you know, the month prior, you saw me wrestle a pretty good technical match against one of the best technical wrestlers, Chris Hero. I think it's really hard to do both, and hopefully I juggle two somewhat all right.
And what do you think it is? What is it about AIW that they feel that they can give you the freedom to sort of go out there and, you know, have a hardcore match with Danny Havoc or have a technical wrestling match with Chris Hero, basically give you the freedom to do whatever it is you feel you can do?
I think it's a lot of confidence, which really makes me feel a lot better as a wrestler. AIW is one of these cool, unique places where, you know, as you work for different companies, the amount of freedom you have certainly dwindles depending on where you work. And AIW is one of these cool places where they kind of let you do your thing, and you're going to float or you're going to sink. If next week Tim Dodds decides he wants to be a magical pixie fairy and I become super popular, then I'm going to move up the card. But if this new magical pixie fairy Tim Dodds doesn't get very popular, then off and away from AIW, I'm going to go. Like, they give you the ball. There's no reason. There's no one holding you back. There's no one stopping you from grabbing a mic. And, you know, I'm up for the challenge. I think they like seeing me stick, and hopefully by now they know I can rise up, so they like giving me a Madman Pondo or a Danny Havoc or whoever.
I mean, when you run down the list of people that you've wrestled in AIW, it's pretty much a who's who of independent wrestling at this point. So,
absolutely, and a lot of first-time matchups, too.
I mean, you've wrestled guys like, you wrestled El Generico for the first time there. You've wrestled ACH. I mean, there's so many guys that AIW has sort of given you the ball as opposed to maybe some of the more even local wrestlers, and they've really put a lot of trust in you as a performer.
Yeah, and I really hope I never let them or their fans down. Every time you step in the ring with some of those guys, you have to put on your best hat and you kind of learn and you get a good feeling of where you are at and how you're progressing and what you need to get better at. So I really feel like every time they put me in the ring with a, Michael Hutter or a Hero or Shelley or whoever, like, I've gotten a little bit better. Like, I got a little bit more different perspective, and hopefully that's going to keep going on.
So I think the next month, Gauntlet for the Gold Knight, probably one of your biggest nights of your AIW career, wrestling someone like Eddie Kingston and then winning the 30-man Gauntlet for the Gold. And, you know, I think we could go a lot of directions with the Eddie Kingston, some of the matches that you've had against him. Obviously, you know, you are infamous for just some of the ass kickings that you took against Eddie Kingston, YouTube legend Tim Donst, for some of those matches. But, you know, you've had a chance to wrestle him in Chikara, you know, at a major pay-per-view, and wrestled him a couple of times in AIW. But what were your thoughts on the Gauntlet for the Gold match in particular?
It was wild. I mean, I think he legitimately ripped the shirt off me with his aggressive New York strength, I guess. That's never happened before. I'm not really quite sure how he did it. You know, he beat me up like he always does. But like this time, I beat him up just a little bit more because obviously I won. And I was really pleasantly surprised by the crowd and everybody else. And I think the majority of them understand how me and him have been battling for years and years and years. And I've never beaten him like this. So I think they were just as happy and surprised as I was. I finally conquered that beast.
And then you win the 30-man gauntlet for the gold, and you get a chance, to go to Absolution. And why don't you talk a little bit about this match specifically? You know, I think people love the Royal Rumble. They love the concept of, 30 people getting in the ring, and, there's so many angles, storylines, great wrestling. What was it like for you to just be a part of the 30-man gauntlet for the gold?
It's tiring. It's exhausting. Because after getting, hit in the face by Eddie Kingston for 20 minutes, and then going out there and wrestling again can be definitely mentally challenging. It's tough, but it's obviously worth it. I was glad it came down to me, Ethan Page. And I was also happy to see Jimmy Olsen made a surprise return. It's always good to see Jimmy Olsen.
Yep, people love them some Jimmy Olsen, and it was indeed great to see him there. So,
and he didn't miss a beat either.
Yeah, he just came in, started kicking ass right away. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, he looked great.
And then, I think a lot of people are going to remember that match that you had with Alex Shelley in April. Shelley is not a guy who does a lot of independent wrestling dates, so any match that he has is going to be sort of a big deal. And while it could have very easily been a main event, you two were in the opener of AIW's Nothing But a G Thing. And while I think a lot of the theme of the show is sort of a hip-hop / rap-based show, Compton Rules, No Disqualification, and, you can very easily go No Disqualification, but this was a match where you two, you really sort of kept it in the ring, sort of focused on the mat wrestling, and were you happy with the match with Shelley afterward?
I was totally happy. I hope everybody else was as well. I think it's one of the best matches I've ever had.
And what was it about Alex Shelley? I think on the commentary they were talking about, how much you admired him. What was it specifically about Alex Shelley that you admired and that you wanted to aspire to?
I think besides being a great wrestler, just he came off, he's a dude that jumps through the screen that just comes off so cool. I think he's like the rock star of wrestling. Only in AIW could me and him be the first match too, I think. But a lot of times, when you meet people you've looked up to for your entire life, some of them are jerks, some of them are cool, some of them can't give you the time of day. And Shelley was one of those dudes, man. He was super cool, and he lived up to every hype I've had as a 16, 17-year-old kid watching tapes of him, trying to learn from him and be more like him. And, I think, too, him coming back to the United States for the longest time, sometimes some of these guys have been around for a while, obviously. They because they're so popular, because they're so well-known, because everyone knows how good Alex Shelley is. Alex Shelley, if you wanted to, certainly didn't have to go out there and give his 120%, if you know what I mean. He doesn't have to, because we already know how good he is. But he did, and he went all out. And because he went all out, I went all out, and I think we put on a really great match.
And then, obviously, unfortunately, you did not win the 2014 KT Lightning Invitational, but you had a chance to sort of wrestle three very different opponents: Marion Fontaine, Matt Cross, and Josh Prohibition. And, I believe that you've had your run-ins with Josh Prohibition before, but, what were your thoughts on getting to wrestle in one of the biggest singles tournaments in any company for any year?
It's funny. It's one of those things, too, where, it's such a great tournament, at least to me. In the 1 year, I wrestled Brian Kendrick. It's a really cool experience. And each year, I think the J-Lit legitimately gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, every time, I just think more and more people are coming out, more and more people buying the DVDs, more and more people talking about it online and reviewing the show. Because, for your money's worth, there's really not more wrestling, even by the hours of those shows, that you can possibly get that's better spent. But I loved wrestling Fontaine. I absolutely loved wrestling Josh Prohibition. I could do it all the time. I think he's one of the most underrated guys ever, ever, ever to be in a professional wrestling ring, as well as one of the coolest guys. I loved wrestling M-Dog also for the very first time. I used to play as him in like the Backyard Wrestling video game. So that was pretty cool. You know, it was a great experience.
I'm
very happy too that the fans. Typically, I mean, I love wrestling, but those fans, man, they sit through like 11 hours of wrestling within 2 days, and they still stay pretty into the show. So they get all the credit in the world.
Yeah, for the weekends like Jaylen and King of Trios, it's almost as much of an endurance test for the fans as it is for the wrestlers.
Have you ever checked out the fan conclave?
I was at the, I've been to J-Lit, when was I at J-Lit? 2012, the first year that it was the J-Lit was the year I was there. And I've been to Trios as well, twice, and it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy those wrestling weekends, but it is
not
retired.
Did you go to the fan conclave 2 years ago?
I did, and I know it's gotten even better in the 2 years since. So I definitely want to make it out to the J-Lit at some point, hopefully next year, because I know how much fun it is.
There was a dating game with Veronica. There was fans cutting promos on each other. It was pretty crazy.
Now, I think that one of the strengths that I think a lot of people would say you have is your ability to cut promos, but you know, you mentioned Josh Bobishan earlier. Have you had a chance to see some of the promos that he's done before AIW wrestling shows?
Yeah, they're always awesome. I didn't get a chance to check out this last one that everyone's been talking about, but I'm really looking forward to hearing it. And I know him and M-Dog have been friends for a long, long time, so I'm sure it's pretty heartfelt.
Right. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check it out either, but, you know, I think that Josh Bobishan is such a great promo cutter, and I feel like that's one of the strengths of AIW as well, is, you know, yourself right up there, Prohibition, you know, Matt Cross cut a really good one at Ain't Nothing But a G Thing, and Gregory Iron's very good at him, even Vita Scott, so, I mean, yeah, AIW does a great job with the promos. I mean, what do you think? What does it do for you to see so many great promo cutters in the company?
Yeah, thanks. You know, to me, wrestling is never just about just the wrestling. Like, I'm just as intrigued as why people are wrestling. And so, you know, I imagine the majority of fans are too. So just letting people say what they want to say. You know, there's nobody telling me what I can and can't do. Obviously, because if you've ever seen the AIW promos, no one says no curse words. So if you're into that thing, feel free. It's cool. I think it really lets people do what they want to do. I'm all about anything that lets you, you know, sink or swim on your own. And that's just another way why I think AIW is really killing it right now, because it affects the product. It makes the show so much better.
Now, obviously, you're wrestling in one of the main events on Sunday against Michael Elgin, but as a wrestling fan, are there any other matches that really catch your eye and make you say, I want to watch that, regardless of whether I was on the card or not?
Yeah. I think, you know, Sabin and Steen should be really fun. I think M-Dog and Josh is also going to be must-see just because they've wrestled each other so many times. And it's kind of so hot right now that I think that they're going to bring out the best of each other.
So I think we're going to talk a little bit about Chikara. I know the question that everybody wants me to ask is why is Tim Donst not a part of Chikara? And he can't really discuss that right now, but hopefully he can do that at some point. And
But we can act like I told you off air so everyone can be mad at you.
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, it's a great story. When you guys hear it eventually, it's going to be... You guys are going to be so pissed at me. Because let me tell you, when he does the big Smart Mark 16-hour interview, you guys are going to love it.
Right.
15 of those hours is just going to be Tim Donst talking about Chikara. So
one of the special features is you're going to be able to watch me like read a book or like clean my room. It's going to be pretty sweet.
Going to be great, but you know, I do have some general questions. I mean, I think that something that a lot of people would be curious to know is your thoughts on the Under the Hood match with Eddie Kingston. I think a lot of people walked away from that match. They thought that you were going to be the champion, and I think there was a lot of disappointment with sort of the results and the match itself. How did you feel sort of after the match, and maybe upon reflection 18 months later, how do you feel about it?
I still feel really terrible about it. I think it was a terrible, terrible match. I think, obviously, I think the direction was going towards one way, and so I completely understand why fans would be disappointed by the results of the match as well. I was actually so upset that that show I left through the crowd, so I didn't know whether or not I'd be coming back or not. Like, that's how disappointed I was with everything.
So, and, you know, I think the disappointment sort of extended beyond just that show. And, you know, obviously we can't address your departure, but what were your thoughts, let's just say, on the final 6 months of your Chikara career?
I think it was, could have been a lot better. I think that, I mean, I wrestled every other Chikara show, which I love wrestling. I love cutting promos, but I love wrestling. I love being in that ring. And so I would have really, really liked to showcase the actual wrestling more. But luckily, I was very, very happy with Elise Vanna Russell, Gavin Loudspeaker. And I think, hopefully, wrestling a dude that doesn't wrestle ever, in a pretty decent match, hopefully makes people see me in a different light after that Under the Hood match, you know?
For sure. And, you know, I think some people are still obviously disappointed by the fact that you're not a part of Chikara even now, but, you know, what are some of your fondest memories of just being a part of that company?
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully sooner or later I'll be back there. I love everybody there. I think there's a lot left to do there, obviously. Yeah, I love my match with Hollow Wicked at Chikara Source Rex. I love that match with Gavin that I told you. I love the match at High Noon. I love some of the stint I did with Jacob. That was a pretty interesting and fun time. I was lucky enough to be part of the BDK and the Sea Dancers. And, I mean, I had a pretty good, you know, run there, I think.
Definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, you pretty much grew up before our very eyes in Chikara from 2007 even until 2013. I mean, you went from the guy that was getting killed by Eddie Kingston to a Sea Monster to a BDK flunky to sort of the leader. And, you know, it's a pretty incredible journey. I mean, you really, this is not a pun, but you really evolved in Chikara in 6 years.
Yeah, thanks. It's really unique. I'm an only child, so, like, it was really unique growing up with, you know, brothers that are so outgoing as professional wrestlers. I met Gran Akuma my first day of practice, you know, so I grew up with all those guys. And it was a really great learning experience. I had some really great times. The Chikara fans are obviously some of the best fans on the entire planet because they just love wrestling. And they're really supportive of it, and that's really cool.
And, you know, now that you are not a part of Chikara as of this moment, you've sort of been expanding your reach and trying to get opportunities in the WWN universe as well as Ring of Honor. So what has that experience been like, sort of breaking away from the Chikara universe and, you know, trying to forge your own path?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, honestly, when I stepped away from Chikara, it was very scary because, just like you said, I've been with them since I was 16 years old. I grew up with them. That's the only thing I've known. I've always had my hand on that, you know, shoreline of protection. So I wasn't used to swimming in the deep waters. But honestly, like, I love those situations. Like, I love knowing whether or not I'm going to succeed on my own 2 cents. And luckily, everything's been going really good with the Future of Honor show is on. I think people are really excited and happy about the stuff I did with Evolve and FIP and the Dragon Gate stuff. So hopefully I'll just keep opening some doors for a while.
And for someone like you, who has been a part of Chikara for so long, do you almost feel like, you know, even if you are proud of the work that you did there, do you almost feel like you have to shake any sort of stigma away from yourself?
I do a little bit, but I think that two things. You know, obviously it helped a lot because a lot of people watch Chikara, so I'm already, you know, I think people have an idea of where they want me to be and where they want me to go. I'm not a guy that no one's ever heard of usually when I do these other shows, if that makes sense.
Right.
you know, which helps the majority of the time, because, you know, fans dictate who gets put on the shows, and the fans tell Evolve they want me on, I'm going to be on. That's how it works, and they've been really great that way, the best supporters on the planet. But I think I've been lucky enough where I think because of my style, because of my personality, it's very easy for me out of the Chicago roster to transcend other promotions, if that makes any sense.
Do you feel you're in a bit of a better position because, and I don't mean any disrespect to the Colony, but you're not a wrestling ant.
Well, yeah, even the Colony was involved, but I'm more or less myself, like to an extent. So I'm not as some companies want different stuff, and I think if you want over the top, I can be over the top. If you just want to see me wrestle, I can take them on the mat and just wrestle. If you want, I can have a nice range. I think a part of that is because I was lucky enough to do stuff with AIW and HWA, and I've been pretty good with getting my spots outside of the Chicago bubble a bit, if you will. So I've gotten the ability to wrestle people with a completely different mindset and learn from different people, understand different aspects of professional wrestling. So if you put me in a different company, I think I'm just going to do just fine.
So obviously, you know, you've had a chance in Ring of Honor at the Future of Honor show and, you know, some of the Evolve shows. You wrestled the Colony, fittingly enough, with Jigsaw. And, you know, what was it like to get in the ring with the Colony again?
It was cool. It was really fun, kind of bittersweet because I don't know when that's going to happen again, but I've known those guys forever, so one of my favorite matches was that King of Trios match we had years and years and years ago with the BDK against them, so it was very reminiscent of that to me.
And obviously you're hopeful of continuing to get opportunities with Ring of Honor and DGUSA, but I guess for you, sort of as a performer now, I mean, in this era in 2014, where it just seems like independent wrestling is so fluid with, you know, their guys being released or their guys, you know, sort of going in and out, you know, as a performer, how do you feel about some of the changes that are going on in independent wrestling seemingly on a daily basis?
I think it's great. Like, I think obviously I don't like when dudes get released because that's their dream job and no one should be happy for someone losing a paycheck, but I think guys like Claudio and D'Ambrose and Daniel Bryan and Punk and all these great guys who came from the indies that are killing it, I think indie wrestling is starting to follow that trend, and I really think we're going to be on another boom period like we were, you know, more than a decade ago, really, again soon.
Is it ever bizarre for you to just watch Luke Harper wrestle in a ring knowing that, you know, he was wrestling in Hellertown, Pennsylvania, like 6 or 7 years ago?
Well, I used to joke with him because I think, like, I was one of the very first people I ever gave that boot to, the one that, you know, has like 70,000 views. So I'd always joke with him that I'm the only reason for his success, not his ability, not his crazy height, not any of that. I'm the reason.
So, and, you know, you've obviously had a chance to wrestle a number of people. AIW is sort of giving you the opportunity. But is there anyone that you look around on the independent scene and you think, man, I would really like to wrestle that guy?
The top one by far, and I'm sure it's like the generic answer right now, but only because it's supposed to happen years ago, is I'm really surprised me and Cena have never been in a ring before together, other than the Cybernetica, and we really didn't even touch them. It was supposed to happen, but then something happened, and I actually ended up wrestling El Generico, too, which was great. But, yeah, that's the one I'd love to see happen.
Yeah, instead of wrestling Kevin Steen, you got to wrestle a guy who's basically on WWE TV on a weekly basis. So you really got to took a step down
right
there.
Guess I did all right.
For sure. And, you know, as we start to wrap things up, I'm curious to know, you know, 2014 Tim Donst, if you could go back and give some advice to your rookie Tim Donst, 2007, besides telling him to avoid Eddie Kingston and Brody Lee's boot at all costs, what advice would you give to yourself? What advice would you give to your rookie self?
I would say strangle Hydra in his sleep. way prior.
That is not nice, Tim. That is not nice.
Never said I was nice.
Hydra's beloved among Chikara fans. It's amazing. Years later, there are people still talking about Hydra, and go ahead.
You think, right? People still do that?
I mean, there are people that legitimate, like, that speech, his farewell speech, is legitimately, like, one of the best moments in Chikara history. There are people
that
who believe
that. That
is
very heartwarming.
So, I mean, I can tell you there are people who have texted or have emailed and tweeted us that Hydra, that farewell speech was great. And there are people, when the Captain America movie came out, that I saw some memes with Hail Hydra, and it was actually Hydra the Wrestler. So
wow, that's awesome. That's really awesome.
So you might want to watch the Hydra hate, because you might get some hate mail for that.
That's funny. I did enjoy playing guitar with him, though. That was always fun.
And that sweet Beatles tune. Can't forget that.
That's right. You have a good memory.
Yep. Do you have any serious advice besides choking Hydra? Do you have any good advice that you would give yourself, like things that you've learned, or?
I would say keep staying hungry and watch your head, because you probably shouldn't get any more concussions.
Yeesh. That's sound advice. That is sound advice. Well, Tim, I want to thank you very much for doing this, and, you know, obviously, the best of luck on Sunday. You know, hopefully you can conquer the Ring of Honor champion. He is undefeated since he lost his mullet, so you might want to keep that in mind before you attack him. So,
I appreciate the confidence.
So, cool. Dangerous. He's a dangerous man without the mullet. But, Tim, why don't you go ahead and plug whatever it is that you need to plug. Upcoming shows, obviously AIW is one of them, and whatever other projects you're involved with.
Yeah, sure. Obviously, you can follow me on Twitter, T-Donst. That's going to stand for Tim Downs, obviously. You can go to that Pro Wrestling Tees website. That's also under Tim Downs. Likewise, follow me on Facebook. You can poke me if you want to. I won't tell anybody. I'm also doing Five Star Smash, which is kind of a cool, weird, quirky comedy wrestling sketch comedy show thing that I did in Philly, and you can check that out at Five Star Smash on YouTube or the Twitter handle. And thanks for listening to this. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate you supporting me in indie wrestling. It's awesome.
For sure. Good luck on Sunday. Thanks. Have a good night, sir.